Well, welcome to the Mindset Transformations radio show with Coach Myrna, a show that showcases content and how to change your brain to change your life, a show empowering women who have been abused, betrayed, abandoned, or rejected to change how they feel about themselves and become co-creative sources, attracting abundant love and happiness into their lives. I am your host, Coach Myrna Young. I am a certified professional coach, author of 3 books, motivational speaker, and I know from personal experience that change is hard. In my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of poverty and child abuse, betrayal and disappointment, and how I turned that all around to live an abundant life. This show is going to give you the tools to do the same in your life. And today we have a very special guest. She has a famous name, but we are going to be speaking to Jenny R. Craig. And she is not the weight loss guru. She is a transformational specialist specializing in emotional intelligence. Welcome, Jenny. Love having you in our show.
I'm delighted to be here. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I should say, before we tell you a bit more about Jenny, but, you know, I just talked about my bio, my personal bio, and I would say one of the reasons that I survived, you know, those things is because that I was building my emotional intelligence, that you don't let things cripple you, but you move on from them. So, without taking away from Jenny, let me tell you what we're going to be talking about today. Here's a little about Jenny R. Craig. Jenny is a transformation specialist utilizing her expertise in assisting leaders in creating authentic, profound, long-lasting impact in their organizations and personal lives. She is a dynamic and riveting speaker. Jenny has taught her life-changing training all over the world. She is a powerful influence in her field in psychology, having trained psychologists and coaches in 48 states on her techniques. She has spoken at the United Nations, published 3 books, 2 of which have become bestsellers. Jenny has appeared on Wink, CBS, Fox, PBS, and the Lifetime Network, being named the We Magazine's 2014 Who Is Who Among Women, the 2012 American Businesswoman Association Neapolitan Woman of the Year. She was the Gulf Shore Business 40 on the 40. She is a distinguished speaker on emotional intelligence at Hodges University, and she has so many, many more awards and recognitions. She's a powerful force in what she does. Her specialties include transformational specialist, EQ expert, which is emotional intelligence, city government team trainer for women empowerment. She's a keynote speaker. She's a mastermind leader, a published author, a global leadership development coach. She's a CEO, a communication specialist, and a behavioral consultant. Wow, Jenny, I am so grateful that you are going to be sharing your knowledge and expertise with my audience today. Thank you for being on the Mindset Transformations radio show. I know that we are going to be having a few mindset shifts today. Welcome.
Well, thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. All right. Well, with all those accolades that I have just read, can we dive right in and you tell us, you know, your journey from, you know, where you were, or where you started, what got you into this field? You know, tell us a little bit more about you.
Well, sure. So I've been blessed to always have a gift of being empathetic and compassionate. And that gift was different than the majority of the family I grew up around. So my entire life, I've always been seeking and searching and trying to understand how is it that I could have some emotional intelligence and some of the people around me did not. And it was interesting that as I was growing and changing and recognizing that we're all meant to be different and that we all have different gifts, and that each and every one of us, my belief has always been that, you know, when we decided to come into and onto this planet, we come in with this beautiful light, this purpose that each and every one of us has to be on this planet. And then we show up around other people who've been on the planet longer than us, who have been hurt, who've been abused, who've struggled, and oftentimes we unconsciously pass on that energetic information, that the way that we continue to share our emotions when we don't know other ways of managing it. And my whole life I've always been interested on why is it that no one's teaching us how to manage our emotions when emotions are actually faster than our thoughts. They're actually really what drives a lot of people in their behavior, and it's not really taught in traditional education. So as I moved on and went to college, I got a degree in psychology, and during that time I was also studying neurology, and I probably would have been a neurologist if I could have been any better at calculus, but let me tell you, that's not my gift, because that's what I'm missing, to have my degree in neurology as well as some calculus classes. But I've been fascinated in the way that the brain works and how it is that when we are having thoughts and emotions, how that actually releases biochemicals that affect the way that our brain is wired, and it also affects the way that our cellular structure is developed. Now, the beautiful thing that I've learned and from the journey that I've taken, it doesn't matter who I've worked with, because I've had a very interesting journey. I was a probation officer for gangs for a while.
Oh, my goodness.
One of my very first jobs out of grad school, unfortunately, my boss got a brain tumor and left shortly after I got there, and his entire caseload was adult male pedophiles. So that was my caseload for a while.
Oh, wow.
I've worked in another person's private practice and worked in my own and eventually ended up in corporate America. And I can tell you, I've worked with murderers, I've worked with pedophiles, I've worked with, you know, young kids who are suicidal, and I've also worked with professional athletes and top CEOs, and I can tell you one thing common in us all is that we all have a light side and a dark side, and my passion and my purpose is helping people to dig into their box of crap so that they find their goodness. Because no matter what your gift is on this earth, there's a dark side to your gift, and when you decide that you're taking responsibility for your own crap, then you are much more powerful than you could ever be, because then you choose what is going to hurt you and how you get to heal it so that you don't unconsciously pass it on to someone else. There's actually a science I studied as well that's still very strong. It's called the science of memetics, that in our frontal lobes of our brain, we have what's called mirror neurons. So that means that whoever you hang out with the most often, that you automatically will adapt and adjust your behavior, your emotions, and where you function to be somewhat like them to fit in as part of just being human and what your brain and body does. So depending on what you watch on TV, depending on what you read, depending on who you hang out with, all of that, your brain will adapt and adjust to be like the people around you. It's called the science of memetics. Because we're mimicking.
How do you spell that?
That's a good question. My computer's not on. M-E-M-E-T-I-C.
It's memetic? Memetic?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Right. I don't want to spell it wrong for you.
I think I can figure it out. I've never heard of it before. So
if you Google it, it'll come up. Mm-hmm. And part of that is about how our brain is wired as well. So every thought that we have, we have up to about 70,000 thoughts a day. Of those 70,000 thoughts a day, science shows that up to 90% of them on the average human are the exact same thoughts you had yesterday.
Mm.
So if you don't learn to dig into, because people sometimes will say to me, because, having been a therapist for all kinds of people, they'll say, oh, you know, oftentimes I hear, oh, science, you know, that therapy's crap, or that's just for sissies, or that's whatever. I'm like, no, no, you're right. I'm a crap removal service. Because mm-hmm. whatever crap you have, underneath it is where your gifts are. And underneath it is the truth of who you are meant to be on this earth, that quiet voice that leads you to where your path is. Because, you see, I don't think that we all have the same path. Like, if we were to say that we're all looking to be our best selves, we're all looking to get, to the top of the mountain, we all have different paths to get there. And the interesting part about when we talk about our own self-development is, let's be honest, my box of crap might be different than your box of crap. My upbringing and the abuses that happened to me while I'm growing up and into my adult life might be different than yours, and they might be the same. And it's interesting that we can attract. So if I talk about my box of crap, sometimes in speaking engagements, I actually bring a box and tell them it's my box of crap. Mm-hmm. But inside of that box, I put a beautiful box, which is the truth of who I am. And one of the things I know for you help a lot of women, and I know for a lot of women that I help, a lot of us have trouble with codependency because we're taught mm-hmm. to be of service, and I'm wired that way. I have the gift of being empathic, so I can feel your emotions as if they're mine. So I have trouble hurting people. I have trouble setting boundaries, and the beautiful gift of empathy that I have led me to have part of my craft is codependency. So I will overserve other people so that they will like me, they will love me, so they don't have to hurt. Where truthfully knowing in codependency, we're not serving that other person. We're actually keeping them weak. Because if we have trust and faith in them, they already have the tools now to deal with whatever it is they needed to do. We need to have faith that they will now use those tools on their own without our constant giving to them. So that way we can set a healthy boundary and give and receive in a healthy way in the relationship together. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That was a mouthful. It's a pretty good mouthful, too. My goodness. I mean, there's certain parts of here that I wanna comment on, but before I do that, so how did you become a coach? I know that you've been around the world and back. Mm-hmm. What made you decide to be a coach?
I think that's just my purpose. That's why I'm here, is to open people's hearts back up so that they can find their purpose again. I chose to be a coach. Going to undergrad and grad school, I just recognized, like I mentioned in the beginning, that empathic side of myself, I needed to find a language to be able to speak what it is I was feeling inside that mm-hmm. was able to help others. Because mm-hmm. when there is no language, and a lot of times with things that are going on with our emotions and our heart, we're not taught a language to manage it and or why our emotions are there or how to move through them. Mm-hmm. So I was fascinated by that. And then obviously mentioned the neurology side, I'm fascinated by that as well. So those things led me to first do a clinical practice, and from that clinical practice, it led me into executive coaching and corporate coaching. So it was the journey of one step at a time to really follow what my gifts are to be of service.
Okay, nice. Wow. That's an amazing story. I specifically like the part where you said that you worked with gangs and pedophiles and, mm-hmm. you know, and then you went to the corporate world and the athletes and all that, because that is what would fascinate me. Not so much the gangs a little bit, but, you know, we've been told that people get into gangs because they're missing a home and the gangs made them feel like part of a family. But everybody does it for, for a reason. And mm-hmm. when you're talking, trying to find out what part of their brains are lighting up. But, yeah, the pedophile, my journey was true, actually, a pedophile, because I was sexually abused as a young child. By a pedophile, so that would be very interesting to me to find out, you know, their brain. And I know that curiosity is what has led you, you know, on your path, finding out a language for your purpose and things like that. And I also like the fact that you talked about the science of the mimetics and how, you know, when we were growing up, you know, there's an old saying that said, to show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. And that
mm-hmm.
is, so, you know, as we grow older, you know, I personally didn't really buy that because I was never a chameleon. You know, I didn't adapt to my friends, and I'm probably one of the few, maybe because I had a high emotional intelligence from a very young age. But, you know, I have teenagers right now, and that's exactly, you know, what they do. They gravitate to friends. They gravitate to what the other people are doing because they have the peer pressure and they want to be liked. So, you know, that that comes into play a lot. So I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're talking about women are, you know, are normally codependent and wanting to please. You know, that comes again from something in their path, something in their history. You know, there's women that, you know, very few that would take the opposite, you know, effect based on how they were brought up. So it's very true that, which is why I start off my, you know, my show talking about your journey, because each one of us takes a different path. And even if, you know, I might have similar experiences as far as, you know, maybe I might be talking to you and you were sexually abused or, you know, had some kind of violence in your life. Even though we might call it the same thing, our journey and how we respond to it are totally different. So the brain has always fascinated me. So great start to our conversation. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
For teenagers, the interesting part about emotional intelligence is our emotional intelligence, the parts of our brain that manage our emotional intelligence, actually start to kick in when our hormones kick in. So depending
yeah.
on
adolescence,
when,
right. Mm-hmm.
yeah, so depending mm-hmm. on, the, you know, people often say to kids, what were you thinking? Like, how could you do that? And truth,
yeah.
you know, depending on where they are in their development, they might not have the strategic thinking or capabilities yet to be able to look forward into the future. Those are actually things that are growing in our brain up until our mid-20s. Some
oh,
neurologists
really?
Will say till 30.
Okay.
But
mm-hmm.
depending, let's just go mid-20s to, you know, to do the median. But
yeah.
Oftentimes giving kids grace that we have to have the conversations with them because their brains are still growing. And knowing that they do want to fit in and they do want to be liked. And that's the time that all of us who have gotten through our teens know that we are very susceptible to the people around
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that and to give them some grace without getting irritated or angry or actually showing them compassion that their brains are still growing to learn those kind of things. And, you
yeah.
know, statistics say that up to 70% of the world now admits to some sort of sexual abuse within their life. And as
yeah.
children, if we haven't learned how to manage that, it actually changes the way our brain is wired. Because
true.
Any huge trauma changes the way your brain's wired. Now, here's
yeah.
the great news, that you have the capacity, it is proven science now, that you can change the neuroplasticity of your own brain. You can
yeah.
change the way your brain is wired. Now, here's
yeah.
the deal. I can tell you this, but you have to commit to it. Like, I can give you strategies today that I use with all my clients. So it didn't matter what struggle somebody has come onto this earth with. So maybe it was the one that, the kid that murdered another kid, or maybe it's the pedophile, or maybe it is the fifth grader that was suicidal. Maybe it is me that's just going through a breakup. Maybe it, whoever it is, we all have our journey, and it's
mm-hmm.
not up to anyone to judge. I can tell you the same technique that all of us can use to move ourselves out of that darkness, to move ourselves into the light of who we truly are. Because all of that is our choice. The deal being,
how many people, what's the statistics on how many of us will do that? Or how many of us will choose to be the victim? I talk about the victim and the player all the time because, you know, and my book talks about it. Yeah, I mean, you've just talked about it. You know, do you choose to be the victim or do you choose to be the player? You know, it's a different word, a different way of saying, you know, the light. You know, move from the darkness into the light. And it usually, to me as a coach, I would say that the people that move are the people that are able to understand their purpose. But what do you
mm-hmm.
know? Very few people know their purpose. Very
well,
few people know their purpose. Yeah.
I, you know, my coach, who's a wonderfully intuitive, empathic woman, always, and I agree with her, that your purpose is to be yourself, to be exactly who you are, outside of what your family, outside of what your culture, outside of what your relationship, outside of what your abuse, outside of all of those things told you to be, that truth, that little voice whispering within. And that's the point of doing any self-development, is to truly, authentically be who you are, because we all have a victim in us. We all have that archetype. We all have the capacity to be better and greater than your mind can possibly ever believe that you could be. You know, it's kind of like that Marianne Williamson quote in my practice with people. You know, it doesn't matter if they really struggled or the top CEOs and professional athletes. All of us get this space where we're actually more afraid of our light than we are our darkness. Because we live in a culture that says, yeah, but you turn on the TV, there's so much fear-based going on, and that brings up the fear back in you, and your
yeah.
brain actually doesn't know what's real or imagined. So,
right.
like, yesterday, Jaws was on TV. It was like a full day of Jaws. And while I do live on an island, I'm pretty sure that a shark's not going to swim into my living room. You know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that my body's still not going into fight or flight and
right.
being concerned
yeah.
and upset and yelling at the TV to swim, swim, swim.
Yeah. Yeah.
My
yeah.
body,
yeah.
that's
mm-hmm.
the science of memetics as well, that my body
yeah.
is feeling what's going on even though it's imagined.
I would not watch that show. I would not watch that because it's too intense. You know, you were actually in that. That's really good directing. I would not watch that because you actually feel, I mean, I came on like a couple of years ago or something, and I saw like a minute of it, and I realized that I would not watch that. It's too intense. Yeah, you actually
sure.
feel that you are in that, and the shark is going to come get you.
Right. But here's the deal. The same thing happens when we've been through any abuse, and we go back to replaying it in our mind. Until we use the tools of forgiveness and truly learn to release what's happened in our body, because you store energetically within your cells and your brain is wired according to that abuse. My job is to help people understand what's going on biologically and give them the tools to change what's happened. Because most of us will just keep holding on, holding on, holding on, and not because we want to be a victim. I don't know. You know, there are some people who choose that because they get attention, but the majority
yeah.
of us just don't know what to do. So some of the things I like
well,
to
Well, I mean,
people,
there's a whole ramification there. You choose to be a victim, yes, you're right, because sometimes it gives you sympathy, but you choose to be a victim because you're very angry that someone had the nerve to do it to you. You're angry at the person that did it to you. You're blaming. It's a whole, you know, circuit of, you know, spiral things. And you're right. When you relive the negativity, you can't actually be positive because you're reliving it. And, you know,
well, and your
I
brain
had a friend,
doesn't know what's real or imagined.
Right.
So you're bringing back into your current present moment what's happened in the past to your present. So
yep,
when
yep.
people are ready to forgive, and I, you know, forgiveness doesn't mean that person's going to change. Forgiveness is actually an Aramaic term that means to untie. So when people talk about forgiveness, you're energetically tied to that person every time you get upset and angry again until you
right.
learn what to do with that energy instead. So when you forgive that person, you are untying yourself from that experience. You are untying yourself from being energetically connected to a
yeah.
person who's abused you in your
right.
past so they can no longer abuse you in your present or your future. And, you know,
yeah.
I love Nelson Mandela. He always said, staying angry is like drinking poison and waiting for it to kill your enemy.
Well, you know, when you said that a minute ago, I thought of that quote. Yes, I thought of that quote in my head because that's basically, I didn't know it came from Mandela, but, you know, I've heard it in church.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, but anyway, we've had a, you know, 20-minute discussion on this. Let's take a very quick break, and then we'll go on to some other questions. I'll be really right back. Well, welcome back to the Mindset Transformations Radio Show. And we have a very emotional, a very gifted speaker today who is teaching us on emotional intelligence and our path and our purpose and all good things about our light side and our dark side and the science of, you know, understanding that who you hang around, you have a 70% chance of becoming like them. So we're talking of, you know, some really good information here. And Jenny is, she has lived this, you know, it's her purpose, it's her path. And I can tell that she's very passionate about her work. So let me ask you a question. How does emotional intelligence affect our success?
Well, certainly I've had the blessing of seeing people learn to manage their own emotions, to take huge quantum leaps in their own development and their own success. Because we set up our own limitations within our own minds. So just imagining a shark can bring up all those issues of fear. Just imagining a limitation of people saying, who am I to do that? Or I can't do that, or that'll never work. Well, honest to goodness, you're making that up. And I love Walt Disney because Walt Disney gives us the gift, or that was part of what his purpose was, to show us to use our imagination for the good.
Yes.
So
yes.
Instead of saying what could go wrong, I always ask my clients what could go right.
Yes.
And let me give you a great example of one of my clients that, so a friend, a client passed on another client to me, and it's because one of my friends was sharing with, she was sharing with her friend that it was a very powerful woman. She created this company. She did it all by herself, you know, from her bootstraps, lifted herself up, got very successful, but things were spiraling and spiraling fast. When she took a look at her taxes, she recognized that she lost about 25% of her profits, and it was a lot of money. So a client and my friend both referred her to me, and I'm going to summarize how emotional understanding your own emotions and knowing what to do with them can make a great difference in your business. So, and it did for her personal life, but we'll stick with the business side. So what had happened when I talked to her, in the first couple calls, I figured out that as we talked about her growth, she'd had a couple employees that she hired in the beginning that were with her through the whole journey. And she had tremendous respect for them, cared about them a ton. And then, unfortunately, one of them stole from her, a decent amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
And when she found out, she was crushed. She was betrayed. She was angry. She was rageful. She immediately fired this employee and then started shifting her own behavior. So she didn't know what to do with this betrayal and anger. I mean, she obviously took action to fire this person, but it started shifting who she was. So she was this master woman of her own marketing. So she would go out and network and explain what her business did to people and bring in clients just naturally and easily as part of her gift. But instead of doing that, now she's hanging out in her office, and she's starting to micromanage her employees.
Yep.
And as she's micromanaging her employees, they're not used to her doing that. They were used to a very trust-centered environment. Now none of them feel trusted. And when when you go from not doing anything wrong to not feeling trusted, then it affects productivity. So to make a very long story short, because she kept micromanaging, and then they were doing less and less, and then she started pushing on them more and then getting more upset and then thinking more betrayal was happening.
Circle.
It just started spiraling
Circle.
To not only affect her, but 25% of her profits that year. So you can see how one emotion from one thing can spread to become something very destructive, where after she and I worked together, we gave her tools to move through that and to get back to her natural set of what she's good at, of going out networking and marketing and giving her, building a trust within her work environment again for her staff so that their productivity would go back up.
Yeah, it's really interesting. But, one of my clients, myself, had a similar story, but in a personal relationship. She had three relationships with men who stole from her. The first one was her husband, and And I hear this story quite often where marriages, when the marriage dissolves, one person goes away with the money and leaves the other one in debt. I mean, you know, I've been married several times, and I've never had that, and I'm not quite sure why women attract that. But, you know, she was afraid. One of her fears was that, you know, someone will steal from her. So she's in a relationship where every time the person mentions something, she's worried about the fare. Because, yeah, her path and her journey, they call it baggage. When you come into a relationship, it's just like if you're in a relationship before and someone cheated on you, you come in a new relationship, then you're micromanaging where the person goes because you're distrustful. So it happens more often in a personal relationship than in business. But regardless, you're right. It's emotional intelligence to saying that, you know, once you get in a relationship, don't bring what someone else did in the past to the current relationship until you see signs in this relationship. It's like saying that everybody's a liar until you find out that this person is a liar. So emotional intelligence and how to handle hurt and disappointment and betrayal, which is what we're talking about, is very important. Else it will be like an anchor. You'll never succeed in anything. So pretty good example. Thank you. All right. So how can we talk to our brain? Go ahead.
Oh, and just to add on to what you were saying,
okay.
You know, people continue to attract, and, you know, with law of attraction, be careful with all the principles, just understanding that any time that you've been through a certain set of circumstances, you energetically will continue to maybe attract that. A great way, if we go back to my box of crap, right? So my box of crap was I would overserve people in the past to be like, and when a narcissist comes up, because I would attract narcissists in my life, they need for somebody to give them constant service to feel okay. And truth be knowing, all we're doing is continuing to wound each other because they won't believe me and I'm overserving. So until I took a look and was able to manage my own stuff by doing actual tools that you keep up, just like you can't join the gym and say, hey, I joined the gym a year ago and never go to it. You're actually going to do the work to get through it, to keep up the tools to cleanse and clear out of your life. And one of the good things to know, because I've chatted with a lot of people about the law of attraction, is just because you feel it doesn't mean it's not going to keep showing up in your life again. That means the next time it shows up in your life, you're going to have a better boundary to say no and mean it. So as much as you like to say yes, get used to saying no with just as much passion, because you're healing them and healing you by saying no, and it saves you a lot of time and energy.
Yeah. And that's why, you know, we all go through, and, you know, I'm just reading the Conversations with God trilogy, and a couple of things that you say comes right from what I'm just basically learning. And, you know, what I'm learning is that whenever you say you don't want something, that's exactly what you're attracting. I mean, there's a way, and I've just actually learned that. You know, I know that, you know, for instance, when I was coaching this particular person, now she's gone on to a beautiful relationship, and she, you know, she tells me, hey, thank you for allowing me to touch the moon, because she's touched the moon. I mean, she transfers that cycle. But the work that I had her do was concentrate on what she wants, because that's how the law of attraction works. Don't concentrate on what you don't want, because that's what will show up. But Conversations with God book puts us another way as well, that don't ever, you know, as soon as you say, you know what, I don't have this and I want this, that's what you're going to attract. You're going to attract one of those same wanting. Instead, be grateful and say, I'm thanking in advance for having received this, you know, and I've learned that in so many different ways, but this is the first time that I was able to actually to understand it. Because people, you know, a lot of the books that tell you visualization, act like if you already have it, right? But now I understand why. You have to live in gratitude. You have to say, this is already what I have. This, I'm grateful for it. So you don't actually say, I want this, you know, whatever. But even though it still works, you know, the law of attraction will bring you, but there's just a better way to do it. But, yeah.
Well, and understanding, if you check out, and we can talk about how to find that later, But if you check out my YouTube, I have a video up, and it's called it's for awareness. So understanding the law of attraction, part of that is if we go into what your brain's doing, is that we have a part of our brain, it's part of our in our brainstem called the reticular activating system. So the reticular activating system allows you to focus on whatever you're thinking and feeling. So if you wake up thinking and feeling, oh, poor me, I don't have a relationship, everybody else is in a happy relationship and mine's not, you'll keep focusing on lack versus focusing on good. And if you do go and do the awareness test of recognizing what whatever you're looking for, you will find. I mean, you have 70,000, up to 70,000 thoughts a day. You have over a billion bits of information coming into you every second of the day. So you get to, it's just like Google. You get to Google in your own mind what it is that you're looking for.
Yep.
So if you're looking for the best in your day, your brain will start to look and find reasons to make you right. And if you add gratitude to the top of that, it's a very powerful neurotransmitter that you have the capability of using yourself every day.
Yeah.
So if every day I get up Googling what's gone wrong in my life, I'm going to keep noticing what's gone wrong in my life. And then I'll attract people who like to talk about what's going wrong in our life together and how that's very similar.
Instead of that. Like talks attract like talks, right? Yeah. So you're right. There is a lot of work in a lot of people that I've encountered. Maybe you've encountered differently. But a lot of people go through life being unaware of all these things. They think that things just happen, you know, but nothing ever happens. There's a lot of work that we have to do to live the life that we want. So it doesn't happen by accident. You know, whether you take a coach or you read some books or however you do it, there's a lot of mental work that you have to do in order to live a purposeful life, even finding out who you are. Because a lot of people don't know who they are. They, you know, whoever they are, they think it's their circumstances or their journey or their role. They're a mother, they're a wife, they're whatever, and they think that's who they are. But understanding who you are takes a lot of work. So,
well, and that's why we're both so passionate about being coaches. I love for clients to come to me who are ready to work. I will tell you the truth. I have people, when they work with me, they have to sign up for 6 sessions. And I refund the money. I'll give your money back to you if you're not going to do your work. Because I refuse a lot of times in traditional psychotherapy, if you come in keeping talking about your wounds, you're continuing to hurt yourself. My first session, maybe the second, we'll talk about what's going on with your wounds, but I'm not going to continue to pick at them.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the medicine for those and then make sure I hold you accountable to healing it. And it's not easy. It's not pretty. People talk about enlightenment. Oh, I want to be enlightenment is destruction. You've got to destroy all the past beliefs. You've got to destroy the cellular structures and the neurotransmitters in your brain that are hurting you so that the new ones can come in.
Yes.
So it's a painful process. But on the other side of it, oh, my gosh, it's just so beautiful and wonderful. And, you know, making sure you maintain it. If you think of your mind like a garden, it's just because you pulled the weed once doesn't mean they'll show up again.
Right. So. Oh, my goodness. That is awesome. You're hitting all the points. That is awesome. I mean, it's very true. You've got to do the work. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens in coaching. People don't do the work. So they either have to keep paying or, you know, I've had clients for over a year and a half because, you know, when you give them homework and you tell them to do things, they don't always do it. But it all depends on why you're doing it. And, you know, that's why, you know, sometimes, you know, getting into something totally different, some of the big coaches charge a lot of money because they figure if somebody is paying, then they're going to do the work. So
that's one way
to do it. Yes. Okay.
Right.
I want to ask you this question, though. How can we talk to our brain in a language that it understands? Because this is a fundamental question here.
Yep. Well, absolutely. It's another really powerful one, and that's from my years of psychology and neurology and then actually being in the field using it. You know, oftentimes it's kind of like I can speak a little Spanish, but if you were speaking Spanish to me, I might not catch everything you're saying. So one of the things, and that's one of the things I give away if you sign up for the newsletter, is the 9 steps to speaking to your brain in the language it understands. I can give you a couple because I know we're time limited today, but
mm-hmm.
One of those is making sure you stay present and positive. Now, let me tell you what I mean by that. Most people, when they say, you know, I've been sick for so long, okay, I'm going to say the affirmation, I am not sick. Well, let me say, like, if I told you not to think of a green elephant, what does your brain just do?
Think of a green elephant. Yep.
And then you tried to erase it.
Right.
So
right.
Instead of saying I'm not sick, I make sure that people, you can try that. It's just harder on yourself. Let's make it easier. Let's do what works most efficiently. Say that I am healthy. So
yes.
Here's the deal a lot of people miss. You have to tell your brain what to look for to know that it's healthy. So I will have people write step-by-step plans of their definition, not mine, of what healthy means. So healthy might mean, you know, what that means to me is what I choose for my diet. So I write out what healthy foods are for my body. I know that it means that I'm going to be doing yoga and I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to go spinning and I'm going to go paddleboarding. I know that's good for my health. I live on an island because I am healed by water, and there's actually truth to going into salt water. That's why most people like the beach, because
mm-hmm.
the silica and the sand actually pulls out toxins as well as the salt
yeah.
water.
Great.
So I know that's good for my health. I know it's good for my health to go out with certain friends and not with others. I know
right.
it's good for my health. I have that. So my brain, instead of it focusing on everything that was going wrong, is now starting to focus on how to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of my day, I can check off whether or not I did those things, because every journey is a step every day to get to our destination. So
yep.
each and every day, I can then reward. Most people have trouble rewarding themselves with, you know, saying, I'm proud of you, I love you, you're amazing, whatever it is, to make sure that you are setting in and concreting why it's better for you to be healthy than whatever, than why you might have been sick. So making sure it's in the positive, and then make sure it's present. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, I'm going to whatever. I'm going to go get that new big job. Well, you know what your brain says? All right, so my brain. I'll talk for my brain. All right, Jenny, let me know when you're ready to do that. You know, my body's already, you know, doing, like it's,
yeah.
right now
mm-hmm.
it's digesting my lunch. It's my
mm-hmm.
fingernails are growing. My hair is growing. I've got so much going on that, let's be honest, I have no idea how all that works in there because that's not my brilliance. We can call somebody
right.
else for that. But
right.
all of that's happening right now, and my brain is processing everything it can. We're fascinating creatures that we can
yep.
think of the past, the present, and the future. Your brain,
right.
that reticular activating system, the switch you need to turn on and to stay on is that I am doing it now. That's why I often tell people I am are two of the most powerful words in the English language,
yeah.
because whatever you put in next
yeah.
is what you will become, because
yeah.
your brain will look for reasons
yeah.
to make you right.
I meditate with that word, I am. That's pretty
mm-hmm.
good in, as far as consciously when you're – if you want to program yourself to
mm-hmm.
saying instead of you're going to do something, then I am doing it. That's new. That's good. Yes.
Well, and that's powerful language for your brain, because your brain, it's just like Google. It's only going to look for what you put into it. So
right.
I am, you know, a lot of women will walk into a room and immediately start focusing on who they think is better looking than them. Well, why not take a day and do the opposite? Because wherever you can find somebody that, and not that that's all vanity anyways, but why not focus on what makes you feel good? Why not walk into a room and say, I'm going to go hang out with the people who are positive and happy and confident and looking to be of service in this world, versus hanging out on the wall and waiting for them to come to you?
Right.
All of that's a
right.
choice. All of it's for whatever you look for.
Yes. Pretty good. All right. Well, we're getting into some really good stuff. I love it. Well, we'll be right back. Let's take another quick station break, and we'll be right back with Miss Jenny R. Craig. Good information here, guys. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right. Thank you for tuning in to the Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Today we're speaking to Ms. Jenny R. Craig. She is an emotional intelligence expert. She's a transformational specialist, keynote speaker, and a host of other, published author, let's get that one in, and a host of other rewards and accolades. And as you can tell from our conversation, not only she knows her stuff, but I can tell she's very passionate about it. And that is what you need in a purpose-driven life. You need to be passionate about what you're doing. So I am so thankful and so grateful that you are on my show and imparting your knowledge to my guests. So as we wrap up our show today, can you offer an awareness tool for our listeners so that they can have the power of focus?
Oh, absolutely. So I think it's great to go to the YouTube and check out the awareness tool, but another one that I find really powerful is I actually had a ring designed, and now it's become a worldwide peace movement. It's a ring that I got for myself when my world was crashing in. I had a lot going on at the same time, and it was the dark night of the soul for me. And knowing all of the information that I know about neurology and psychology and biology, I needed to get myself focused on how I can do the best for myself every day despite everything that was crashing in around me. So I got a spinner ring, and I had engraved on it, "I am grateful for." And the reason I did that is because I know the first 10 minutes of your day are extremely powerful times of your day. Because whatever you're thinking and feeling, as we talked about with your reticular activating system, it'll look for reasons to make you right. So I know all of us are human, and if we're truthful, we wake up irritable, we wake up cranky, we wake up tired, we wake up all of these things that happen, and we haven't even put our feet on the floor yet. What I take is 10 minutes in the morning before I put my feet on the floor, and I think and feel grateful for anything and everything I can come up with. And here's the deal about gratitude. The more you do it, the more it shows up. But here's what you need to know about gratitude. It's, you know, when you're feeling grateful, you release a neurotransmitter that increases your immunity. It decreases feelings of depression. It decreases feelings of anxiety. It says it actually makes you stronger and more resilient. All of that, and that's not just woo-woo, that's what's happening. That's what's being released into your cellular structure. That's what's going on within your brain. So those first 10 minutes. Now, here's the deal. You think it, you feel it, and if you put action to something, it wires your brain faster. We know in neurology that it takes about 28 to 30 days to wire something into your subconscious, and I mean that literally, that whatever neural pathways that you have, if you don't fire them, you know, the electricity going through, they won't wire anymore. So you can rewire your mind to focus on gratitude. So I was thinking, feeling, and spinning the ring. Now, most people in psychology have heard of a trigger. We're all triggered all day, every day. You know, we can smell pine and think of Christmas. I can smell coconut and I think of my grandmother. Like, you can, okay. It can be a certain time of year. Your brain and your body remember. So, right. You know, the day that my dad passed away, it's been 15 years, but that day I feel sad and I don't even know why until I know it's that day. Like, it's not conscious.
Trigger,
your body
right.
does
yeah.
that
mm-hmm.
for your okay. own survival skills. So knowing that knowledge, you can create positive triggers. So thinking, feeling, and I spin my ring every time I feel grateful. Now, here's the deal. After you do that for about a month, every time I touch my ring, I feel grateful, and then I don't know why. So then I start looking for reasons why am I feeling grateful.
Yeah.
So I've trained myself in a positive feedback loop. So 10 minutes in the morning, and then
that's awesome.
10 minutes before bed. Because most people don't know whatever you're thinking and feeling before you go to bed will actually be the next 4 hours of your dream time. So if I'm feeling irritated before bed, then I'm going to release irritation chemicals for the next 4 hours of my sleep. Why not do something that's going to be healthy for me? So if you can't find any time in your day, 10 minutes before you put your feet on the floor and 10 minutes before you go to bed, that's your time to take exquisite care of you because you're worth it. And doing it through gratitude. Now remember, I'm going to upgrade it. I'm great. It's not just saying I'm so grateful because I know I've done this project actually in all over. So not just saying I'm grateful because I've gone and I've done it with kids, and it's great because kids learn to take care of themselves first. You have to be an overflowing cup before you give to others, because when you give from your overflow, that service, when you give from your reserves, that's where we run into trouble. That's where we run into problems in relationships. So they learn
I absolutely love that. I will tell you that I started to do that, and obviously I didn't wire it into my brain because then I stopped. I was watching the Steve Harvey show one day, and he was on there in the morning doing his – he was actually walking on the treadmill, and he was doing his gratitude, and he had about 80 things. He says that that's part of his morning routine. And then right after that, I was watching a YouTube video, and the guy was talking about successful people have a morning routine. And then right after that, I saw somewhere else about this gratitude. And, you know, I meditate every morning, and I started doing this gratitude thing where I had like 35 things that I would say I'm grateful for. And it only lasted for about a week because I totally don't do it anymore. And then, of course, you know, the book Think and Grow Rich, I study that book. I coach from that book. I talk about that book. I blog about that book. And that is all with programming your subconscious and auto-suggestion. And, of course, I was doing that again before I went to bed at night, simply because, like you're saying, you're programming your brain for auto-suggestion, and you're dreaming, and you're trying to bring it from your subconscious world into your conscious world. And, you know, as coaches and as people that are running a business and kids and husbands and wives and all that stuff, you know, I'm one of these people, again, that I start something and I don't actually continue. Not that I don't do something, but I do something else. But I absolutely love you. Just coached me. And I know that that in order for you to do something, for it to become a habit, it's actually 21 days. So I'm going to have to make myself do these things for 21 days until it becomes a habit, and then I don't have to actually think about it. So,
well, and that's why I need a ring. That's why I need a ring, something on me that I feel I can focus on. So it can remind me throughout the day to focus on what's going on.
Right.
And so with the kids, they spend the 30 days doing that for themselves and journaling. So I am grateful for... And then filling in because is also a powerful part of that exercise. Writing things down actually allows more of your brain to work on it. And then their job is to go out into our community and give it to someone else and spread gratitude. So they get to understand the power of what it feels like to give to another person, to let somebody else their presence.
And, you know, I'm actually going to take that, and that's what this is all about. Not only audience is learning, but whenever I speak to anyone, I learn from them, too, and I take away things. And I did mention to you that I have some, you know, teenagers or, you know, having some behavioral issues. And I'm actually going to have them implement that, you know, thinking about gratitude because, you know, they all go around and they're thinking what they don't have and what they want and and these things. And, you know, so I'm totally going to implement that, even though I already knew it for myself. But I just had an inspiration when you're talking about you know, the children. Yeah, so that is awesome. Okay, now tell our audience how they can get in touch with you, whether as a speaker, whether they need some emotional intelligence coaching. Yes, how can they reach you?
So I just had a new website put up, and it's Insight Strategist. And Insight is spelled I-N-S-I-T-E, Strategist. InsightStrategist.com. InsightStrategist.com. I still have my old website, which is Live Your Power.
Okay.
Or you can also find me and read some of the amazing stories about what's happened from people passing on gratitude at GratefulRing.com. And right. That's where if you want your own grateful ring, you can do that as well and pass it on and spread the goodness. It's actually helped people stop a girl from committing suicide. It ended up spreading all over the world. It's got amazing stories behind just how spending a little bit of goodness with another soul on this planet and seeing and sharing with them how they matter really can make a huge difference that sometimes you don't even know the big difference you're making by sharing goodness.
Yes. Oh, it's very powerful. Love is very powerful. Compassion is very powerful. Empathy is very powerful. You started off by talking about that, being empathetic and a compassionate person. And I will tell you that I did my research on that, and there is very few people that that are compassionate souls or compassionate spirits. So I'm glad that you recognized that that was a gift and, you know, led your life in order to give back to the world and finding your purpose. It has been truly a pleasure. I know we didn't get to some of the questions because we had some really long answers and we were imparting knowledge, so that's pretty good. Now, before we wrap up, I did some research on emotional intelligence, and apparently the guru of emotional intelligence is Daniel Goleman. You've heard of him, I'm assuming?
He
wrote some books. Right, exactly. And this is what he had to say. He says that emotional intelligence is how we handle ourselves in four domains: self-awareness, knowing who we are and why we're feeling how we're feeling, right? So self-awareness, which is basically what Jenny has been talking about. You got to know yourself. You got to know who you are, right? Understand your feelings. Number two, he talked about self-management. How are you handling those distressing emotions so that it doesn't cripple you? And when I read that, I remember that, you know, a couple of times I've been through some breakups, and it crippled me. I laid in bed for several days. You don't want to get up, but it doesn't happen anymore, right? Because your emotional intelligence, your EQ is supposed to kick in. So self-managing, right? Empathy, which Jenny has an enormous quota of, but not very many people have empathy, which is what I'm saying, you know. So knowing what someone else is feeling, being able to walk in their shoes, you know, there's a saying that says you can't know a man until you've walked a mile in his shoes. But you don't really literally have to walk in his shoes. You just have to be able to understand his pain. You know, what are the things? I'm always crying in movies or crying at a story. I can actually feel another person's pain, and it's very few people that can do that. And then, of course, the fourth thing is having skilled relationships. When you put all those things together, then it comes out with relationships, because relationships is how we show up on this earth. It's the important thing. You can't, no man is an island. Your relationship with yourself, with other people, is how you live your best life. So we're down to the wire. We're down to the end of our hour together. I want to thank Jenny for her passion. I want to thank Jenny for sharing her wisdom and her knowledge and taking the time to be on our show. I want to thank you for tuning in and being transformed. And, if there's nothing else that you take away, remember that gratitude is not only how you you tell the universe what you want and to make sure that you get it, but it's also passing on to someone else the good feelings of being happy with who you are and being grateful. And definitely go to Jenny's website and purchase her ring, either gratefulring.com, liveyourpower.com, or her other website, insightstrategist.com. Now, does any of these sites link to your YouTube channel that you're talking about, Jenny?
Live Your Power and Insight Strategist link to the YouTube. And there are some videos on there that continue to go in more depth about some of the things that we chatted about today.
Okay, good. So maybe I'll take a look myself. All right, so until next time, next Wednesday at 5 o'clock, tune in when I will be bringing you some more guests that will change your mindset so that you can live an abundant and your best life. So until next time, have a good night. Bye.